This is a HeadGum Podcast. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la. It's a mailbag, da 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 da, hoo ba hoo. Mailbags, stamps, letters, postage, envelopes, mailmen, short shorts, skip the mailman. Reno 911, Thomas Lennon,
yep.
At midnight, Demi Adijuwebe, Electro Lemon,
Lemon, Citrus, Lime, Spice,
Lemonade, Farm Aid, Farm
Fruits.
Subsidies, welcome to Gilmore Guys.
I like word that association was, song.
That was so fun.
That's a hashtag war, word association a song.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, a terrible one, but it is
that
one.
That would be so
it's
hard
a game.
It must be verbal. This is a very special episode of Gil Mail, guys.
Yeah.
The first one we've been joined for with a guest.
It's not true. Alex
Goldman. Shoot. Sorry.
Wow.
It's
still special.
In LA. In
it's
LA.
The,
in
yes,
LA.
It's
I'm
the
sorry,
first one
Alex.
In LA.
Yeah, so because it wasn't here, I'd
shit.
Like
it doesn't count. It doesn't count if it yeah. wasn't here.
Deep in the heart of Gimlet Studios. So here's how this one's gonna work, because
okay.
I feel like we need a mechanism, like Shear does the mini-sodes on How Did This Get Made. We need a mechanism to catch the mail for all the response for the last episode,
right?
And then address it. On, like, maybe we can start doing that at the beginning of mail, because what ends up happening is with the recording schedule, we get feedback on episodes we recorded 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then with mail, like, I just, like, we need, I don't know, maybe it's like a difference in recording schedule, or maybe that's just something one of us does and then we put it out. But well, something where it's like, we hear you. You know what I mean? So no one feels unheard.
Well, the thing is about that, I feel like that's what just direct responses on Twitter and email are for. And then when it's a big thing where it's like, oh, we really messed up on that, then we
right.
can just mention it in an episode. I think moving it to mail might get confusing for people who... there are a lot of people who just don't listen to the mailbag episodes, which is fine. But if it's something where it's like we want to just address like a mistake or just a concern that people have mentioned...
A minority, though, you know? Like, it's a minority of people that don't... listen, you know what I mean? It is less, but it's not that much less.
Is it really?
It's not half.
No, of course.
It's not. It's like maybe, I don't know, percentage.
It's like if you watch The Walking Dead, you get a little bonus at the end with Talking Dead.
Is it a bonus? Just kidding. I love you, boss.
Points.
Points. Points.
Okay.
Why is everyone's impression that he's tired?
I don't know.
He's not tired. Well, because he has
like
so many jobs.
He does. Man. He is the 2015 Ryan Seacrest. I mean, he's...
Or James Brown.
Sure.
Wait, you say James Brown?
Well, they call him the hardest working man in showbiz.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that offensive?
No. I was just like, it was generally like, how? I was like, they don't do
they
any of this.
They used to call him
stuff.
The hardest working man in showbiz.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Let's go to the... Nope, not gonna do that one.
What?
It was 3 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. For these...
Sorry.
We'll listen to all of them and hopefully respond to all of them, but we cannot do 3 minute long voicemails.
Ain't nobody got time for that?
Yes. No. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Demi. Hey, Kevin. This is Danielle in the ATX. Woo-woo! So my question for you guys is, Gilmore Girls is a very generational or intergenerational story, at the heart of it, at least, between, as you guessed it, the Gilmore Girls. Gilmore Girls is. So we often get to see that Emily and Lorelai have major contrasts in how they handle situations. And, of course, they're through a relationship just because of, you know, the situations, obviously, and Lorelai's combativeness. But what I wanted to know is, what good characteristic traits do you feel that Lorelai has received from Emily's influence? And in turn, what has Rory taken away from her mother as well? Thanks, you guys. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
What traits has Lorelai gained from Emily and Rory gained from Lorelai? I mean, the ones Rory from Lorelai is like very evident, I feel like, in the show. Taste, wit, you know, food appetite, things like that. But
lack of money.
Lack of money.
No.
The things with Lorelai to Emily, though, or that Emily's passed on to Lorelai, maybe it would be that Emily
knows how to get what she wants a lot of times.
Assertiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
In assertiveness in the workplace and outside.
I think they both navigate. Neither of them feels like a fish out of water where they are. Emily, even though she lives in the world of like hot couture and whatnot, like hot couture, I don't think that's right. Just like the,
no, I like that.
The high society like life. She very much is like, I know all of the rules of this world and I run this world. Lorelai's the same way as Stars Hollow. She knows the rules of the town. She runs the town. She's very much just she's comfortable.
They feel secure in those roles.
Yes. Yeah, as opposed to Rory, where she kind of is always just like, and maybe that's just growing up.
Being a kid, yeah.
But maybe it also is just how she is.
True.
I don't know.
I'm trying to, there must be something. I feel like there's some wit though that Emily's passed on to Lorelai.
Yeah,
because Emily is very funny a lot of times.
She's
that
funny.
Gets overlooked.
I think it gets overlooked just because she looks down on humor, but it's just a thing that she uses to. Humor is the appetizer, the side dish. It's not the main thing, as opposed to Lorelai. It's like, humor is it all, baby.
Here's the main dish, the appetizer, the dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even Emily's lines when she's like, I want to start dating. And Lorelai's like, a man? No, a weasel. Yes, a man. Like that sort of stuff. That's a Lorelai line.
It's like a Paris line almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're our favorite characters, probably. Yeah. Let's do another voicemail. This one's a shorty, under 20 seconds long.
Wow.
Hey, Gilmore guys. It's Brady from Indianapolis. Quick question. We know Kirk has tons of jobs. Do you ever think that he would do porn? We know he loves money, so I think he could have a really good career in it. I love the show. Thanks for answering my question. Bye.
That's amazing.
Yes, Kirk would do porn. Would porn take Kirk?
Would porn take Kirk? I mean,
no, I don't feel bad.
Someone's into some weird thing. That
Kirk. People are into all sorts of crazy stuff. You ever scroll through like weird porn categories? You're like, I didn't know anybody's into that.
Stand up premise.
I'm just saying. Just do, like you're scrolling through and you're like,
all right.
Continue. You're scrolling through and how do you be? How does it be?
People are
when
just,
you be scrolling through porn.
When
and,
I be scrolling through porn
and
there's always some
be scrolling is my MC name.
I'm just saying there's a whole category of amateur porn and he could do it. He could do it no problem.
Here's the thing.
They never showcase the guy either.
Okay, in a world where we have to accept that this show allows a storyline where Kirk does like is into porn. Obviously, they're not showing anything; they're just talking about it.
Sure.
What happens there? Is it that Kirk gets into porn and he is surprisingly?
I think that's the most interesting story: is that he's amazing at it.
Yes, and everyone's just like, "What?"
I love again.
A
I love
star
it when,
is born
when the a star is porn.
A star is
star
porn.
Is porn.
This goes back to an email that Liz sent us. She says it was mentioned somewhere towards the end of season 5 that Kirk has been working 11 years and had about 15,000 jobs is what they say. And she said, well, I did the calculations. 15,000 jobs divided by 11 years equals 1,363 per year.
Oh my God.
That's like what? That's like over 3 a day?
Which she says about 4 different jobs per day. And then she writes in all caps, Gilmore Girls exists outside reality. With Luke and Lorelai timeline being all weird, the entire cast never sleeping, and now this, Gilmore Girls is most definitely in an alternate universe where time is not measured the same as us.
Believe it.
Just my opinion, but as Atherton Witherflower says, numbers don't lie.
Damn.
Famous statistician, Atherton Witherflower. Who sounds like a friend of ours, but
yeah,
you guys go look him up.
He sounds like Emily's, like an old guy she used to date. Oh, when I was with Atherton, it was...
He also sounds like a former guest of ours, too.
Atherton Witherflower?
Playing a character on another podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, what are you talking... Yeah. That is insane. I'm sorry.
Reality.
I'm stuck on this Kirk doing porn thing. Does he quit, does he quit because Lulu wants him to be...
See, this is what it is. Lulu breaks up with him for some sort of like really grounded emotional reason. Like,
sure.
Kirk, you work too much. You're obsessed with pleasing everybody, but you don't work to please me. And he's like, well,
I'm going to get better at it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't mean to please sexually. Yeah. That's not what I...
You don't need to correct yourself. I liked it.
And then as a reaction to Lulu leaving him, Kirk says, I'm going to try this porn thing. And he's...
I'm going to give it a whirl.
He is the Dirk Diggler of Stars Hollow.
Oh, he's my God. Dirk Diggler of Stars Hollow.
Look good, feel good.
Hollow Knights.
Oh, my God.
Look good, feel good.
I believe that.
Yeah, I want to hear his duet with John C. Reilly.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
All right, there's another V-mail.
Hi, Demi and Kevin. My name is Casey. I'm a big fan of your show. My friends and I text about it every time a new episode comes out.
So nice.
So my question for today is, I'm living in New York, but I'm originally from Connecticut. And sometimes Gilmore Girls references to Connecticut are spot on, and other times they're pretty off. For instance, I don't know what episode it's from, but it might be later, but it's not a spoiler. There's one episode where Richard mispronounces the name of a museum in New Haven and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I was wondering if there's any, TV shows or movies that take place in Texas that you think their references are just a little off. Because, like, sometimes when you're watching Gilmore Girls, you can tell the Paladinos are not from Connecticut.
Right.
So, hope you guys are having a good show. I really love it. Have a good day. Bye.
Oh. You know, it is such a Hollywood vision of what Connecticut would be.
Yeah.
And there's so much, because it was literally, they spent a weekend in Washington Depot, and even Herman said later, and we talked about this, like, yeah, that's messed up. Like, Washington Depot's shitty. Like, they stayed in, like, a little frou-frou place.
I mean, they call it, I mean, don't get me wrong, mispronouncing a museum name or whatever, but, like, Stars Hollow is a storybook town.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Storybrooke, you could say once upon a time, Jane Espen, same connection.
Reseda, Washington Depot, I've been there.
Are you just
living it up in the city?
Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi.
I mean, take it away, because she asked specifically
about Texas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not a lot of... the most famous one would be Friday Night Lights, of course. I'm trying to think of other representations of Texas.
I don't think I've ever seen a show.
There's a few shows I've been shot there.
Blank Check.
Oh, yeah.
That's literally what comes to mind.
Oh, that was in Houston, wasn't it?
Austin,
yeah.
It was Austin? Okay. Rushmore was shot in Houston, but that's not trying to capture any sort of, because Wes Anderson's from there.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of it was shot in Kingwood, where I grew up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Spiritfarer.
Yeah.
I would say, you know what, there were two other TV shows. The Other Guys with Colin Hanks and Bradley Whitford, which was pretty fun. They were really fun, and that was shot in Dallas, but that's not really trying to represent Texas. Yeah. And then that critically acclaimed show Lone Star, that was on Fox for like 3 minutes and got canceled.
Yeah,
but
they
were three
minutes in and they pulled the plug. Just went to...
Yeah. I would say Friday Night Lights is an excellent representation of Texas.
Wow.
Because it's one that is not condescending. And I think it's because it's like just so thoroughly bred. Like, you know, they all lived there when they were shooting there, but half of them still live there now, and the crew's there. And it's a show that actually took, like, even more so than I think Gilmore treats the world of Connecticut and, like, oh, what a quaint life it must be. It, like, just puts you on the ground level with, like, yeah, football matters in these towns.
Right.
And, I don't know. I'm getting a little emotional talking about
cry.
It. I shouldn't.
Kevin is actually crying right now.
I shouldn't. No, I'm not.
There are tears rolling down his face.
You would know. You would know. I've never cried on this show before.
Oh.
But Friday Night Lights, I think, I'm trying to think of if it got anything wrong on the show. You didn't watch it, right?
I did not.
I didn't either, no.
It's a wonderful show.
You've told me. You talk very highly of this show.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do. It's won Emmys and all that. But it's I just don't know if I can get into it.
Imagine, okay, what I want you to do when you go home is
okay.
I want you to turn on the TV, watch a football game, put it on mute,
okay.
Turn on Explosions in the Sky, see how you feel.
Dude, no, it's more complicated.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, when you say you can't get into it, imagine that feeling of seeing a touchdown happen.
If they had
and
Explosions
just
in the Sky in the movie, they have that in the movie, but do they have that in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they score with a lot of that, and then W.G. Snuffy Walden, which is a real name, composes in
this
style.
That's not a Dr. Seuss character?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's a real guy. He also wrote the score for The West Wing.
Beautiful.
And other shows.
Other shows. I was going to say, though, just to add my 2 cents, because I'm here.
you don't have to.
It's
okay,
kind of
continue.
The point of being a guest.
Being from California, there's so many shitty California references. Just as, like, as much as, like, a lot of times when I meet somebody from outside of California because of TVs and movies and all that, they're like, oh, yeah, do you surf? Like, that's the first question you get. It's just such a stereotypical.
It's the do you ride a horse of Texas.
Yes, exactly.
So. Yeah, it is the do you ride a horse of Texas. That's a good
question. So do you guys ride a horse?
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. The very first time I went to London. No, this wasn't. It couldn't have been the first time. I went to, when I went to London, visiting family. I went to school with one of my cousins just to like walk. Like I literally just went to the school with them, and everyone who found out I was from Texas asked if I rode a horse or if I had. Well, they didn't ask. Oh my god, I'm surprised they didn't. They just asked about 10-gallon hats.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
See, when I was like, dumb.
Yeah.
When I was in London and I said I lived in the United States, somebody asked, like, does everybody walk around with guns? And I was like, no, what a weird...
In secret.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ha.
Anyways, all right.
Next female.
Hey, guys. My name is Amy, and my question is this.
Sherman Paladino?
What was it like for the townies today that Lorelai and Rory showed up in Stars Hollow? You've talked about how the town seems to view Lorelai as their queen. Would that stem from her being 17 years old showing up with a small baby? Did she tell them anything about herself, or was she just a mystery girl who showed up? And
like
speak to what it would have been like for the townies on her first day in Stars Hollow. Thank you so much. Love the show.
That was so nice.
That was great.
Yeah.
I didn't catch the first part. I'm just going to...
Question is this. What was it like for the townies today that Lorelai...
So it's basically... So the day... that Lorelai arrives in Stars Hollow.
It was kind of like when Jesus was born.
I mean, that's the first place I kind of go. It's like, there was just a light about her.
It was.
That couldn't be.
What's not to love? That's what I want to know.
About a pregnant teenager?
Yeah. Not about.
According to your last episode.
That's true.
I love pregnant women, guys. Stop.
Trolley loves pregnant women. That's the hashtag for this Gilmail.
Oh, gosh.
In my imagination. Lorelai comes to town, and the town is just a very quiet, sleepy, you know, no one goes there.
Sure.
And she is just kind of trying to make her way around the town, like talking to people, just trying to get places. And everyone's just like, you should really go home, kid. But her personality is so sparkly, they sort of take a liking to her, even though they don't want to. And then
would they not want to? Is that
just like in terms of like if a kid with a like I feel like they would just go. I'm just imagining this as a sleepy town like in any other show where it's not like actually a comedy. I think they would see a teenager and they go, oh, you really should go home. Like I can't do anything. Like
right.
Yeah. And then over to like Lorelai's personality is just bursting through the scene. She's making them laugh. The people are loving her. And eventually they become, instead of wanting her to go home, they're like, if you're going to stay here, you need people to take care of you. And they take care of her until she becomes an adult. And she sort of gives back by being the lovely person that they know and love. And that's why they love her. It's like the town is her parents.
I would love to see that.
Right?
How did she afford the Dragonfly Inn?
How did she afford the inn?
Yeah, like how'd she buy that?
A woman died,
plus Luke gave her a crap load of cash.
Yeah, Luke is a billionaire.
Yeah, he's sitting on a couple hundred thousand.
Steve Jobs.
There's money in the popsicle stand. Or in the banana stand.
Luke's was the popsicle stand. Or the coffee stand.
Right.
The coffee shop.
Yeah.
We're doing good, guys.
We're doing great.
These references are so great.
Hey, Kevin, Demi, this is Jordan.
And Amanda.
Oh.
And we've been listening to you guys for quite some time. Enjoy the hell out of the show and preach the gospel of the guys anywhere we go.
This is awesome.
And a quick question for you about some of your Gabs shows.
Okay.
I was wondering if you ever want to ask some harder-hitting questions. For instance, during Yannick's episode, you could have asked him, and we talked about before, of what it's like to be the only Stars Hollow black character. Do you have to censor that for yourself? Do you have to get through agents when you arrange these gabs and they put blocks on questions, or do you just not think to answer them because you want to keep it light, fun, and congenial and good times like the majority of your podcast is?
Which we enjoy thoroughly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amanda.
I'm just curious to see how deep you guys want to get or could get. Thanks again for everything you do. Keep up the awesome work. And
Copper boom.
What an interesting question. The answer is, okay. Like, these are not, when we set up the interviews, everyone's very cool. Like, there's not a lot of Hollywood red tape to get through.
What about me, guys? That's the reason it took you so long.
Shut up for a second. There's not a lot of Hollywood red tape to get through. So we don't have to, like, there's no pre-screening. Literally 100% of everyone we've talked to for a gab, was when it was arranged, there was no pre, like, I think these are the questions we're going to ask you about.
No, like, it's like, I mean, talk about this.
Well, with Patterson, it was like his movie was coming out, but otherwise, like, there's been no mandate on anyone else's part to talk about this or not talk about this. Right. So, given that they're all doing us a favor, and some of them we know better than others, like, obviously, there are some pre-existing relationship. You know what? There's pre-existing relationship with Jane Espenson. When we have Keiko on, there will obviously be a large pre-existing relationship there. And so there's different levels of comfort and comfortability. And when you have guests on that are comedians, there's a level of comfortability that is assumed. But when it's people who are professional writers and actors and maybe don't trade as much in the comedy world, it's a little bit different. So even in terms of like how far can you push and what can you do and what can you say and what can you talk about is a little different. And every interview is also a first date to get to know the person as well. So for Yannick's thing, it's like, yeah, we could have brought up like, so you're the only black guy in Stars Hollow. Speak on that. Or, hey, what do you think Michelle was gay secretly or not? But it doesn't seem germane to the overall vibe of what those things are. Like, would it, and it all comes down to us, right? Like, again, we want to reiterate, like, there's no pushback on anyone else to, like, talk about this, don't talk about this.
We also don't want to sort of, we don't want to give them a sneak attack. We don't want to have them come in and talk about the show and then just go, so, we've heard there's some drama on the set. Like, that's not fun for them to discuss. It's not fun for their careers. We get nothing out of it by just, like, it's just gossip. There's no reason for us to talk about it. We're not TMZ.
Yeah, it seems like a big risk for little reward, and essentially. So we don't do it.
Right. And as fun as that could be to hear about, doesn't that kind of, like, if we get something bad, doesn't that kind of color the show for you in a way that you don't want it? Like, let's say Liza came on the show and talked about how she hated Danny Strong. Don't you go, oh, great, the show is ruined.
Right. Well, you know, and I think a part of the aim of doing the gabs like we do is to create a sense of fun, have it be light, not be so light that it's not insightful,
right,
but not be so heavy that people feel like they're walking into a trap. Or anything like how people would feel. There's very few interviewers left on TV that are dangerous, but like Colbert is a dangerous interview because you don't know. You don't know what he might bring up. He can go a little hard after Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So essentially we're the Jimmy Fallon of these. Like, we're not going to marry you. Like, what's your pain?
I guess that's how's what our speed dick? Round is.
But you guys are all alcoholics secretly?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Our speed round is like Tom Cruise putting an egg on his head.
In a way, though, like, speaking to that, like, I don't want to ruin the show for anyone, but I also want to humanize it, too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you want to create a good, balanced view of who these people are. It's easy for me to get wrapped up in, like, your Paris, blah, you know, and it's just like, no, she's a person who has, like, a family and she's working. You know right. what I mean? Like, just, like, getting to that ground level, I think, is a helpful and healthy exercise. But to the point, Jordan and Amanda, no, we decide not to do that. That's not anything that's ever dictated by anyone else. Everyone else is very cool, and they're often more candid than we would ever imagine they would be half the time. So it's such a gift as it is. But when Lauren comes on,
the gloves are off.
I'm going to ask her some weird shit.
You're going to grill Lauren?
Yeah. I'd be like, Graham, is that your real name? Next V-mail.
Hi, my name is AJ, and I'm from Chicago. And I had a question more kind of to get at your analysis of various components and experiences that Rory has. My question is this. Why do you both tend to frame your analysis of specifically Rory's, but also Lorelai and, say, other characters' behavior around your own experiences rather than try that around the possible experiences of those specific characters? Basically, is there a reason you guys aren't trying to put yourself in their place rather than trying to frame their reactions and thoughts around your own experience of the world? So I guess that's my question. Have a good one.
I feel like to answer that question, I need a specific example of what sort of situations we've analyzed from our perspective rather than the show's perspective. Because I think it switches. Sometimes it's more pertinent to analyze things from our perspective because we go, oh, that doesn't make sense as someone who blah, 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 blah. And sometimes it's like, well, I get that because Rory so-and-so. I think we mix it up. I don't think it's entirely in one
I
camp,
hope so, because I don't want it to be a thing like, well, with retrospect and the male gender, I know better, or right. anything crazy like that. Like, I don't want it to be... Yeah, I hope it doesn't come off like that.
Maybe now she's referring...
everything.
Maybe she's referring to the way that we review, like, the men of the show. And from that respect, I'll say it's hard to put ourselves in their shoes because in their shoes, I think their morals are sort of different than ours are when talking about just like right. relationships and whatnot.
But she was talking about Lorelai and Rory specifically. So I guess maybe it's a lack of imagination to not try to...
I feel like we're pretty good about it, though. I need a specific example, but I'm literally only thinking
about you'll get one now.
I'm thinking of the boyfriend talk that we do all the time, and it's just like... Putting ourselves in their head is easy to do because we know exactly what they see. And we're not talking – when we talk about someone being out of character, that's when we put ourselves in their head. But to think of the boyfriends, think about the way everyone thinks about the boyfriends. It's just like, why, like I'm on this team because they appeal to me in this way. It's not fair to go who's right. Like, I mean, if we're talking who's right for Rory, then we have to talk about it very differently. And even then, I kind of feel like, are we talking about who's right for Rory from the standpoint of because Rory is this way, or are we talking about what's right for Rory just because Rory's a person and this is what she should deserve?
Right.
I think it's different things. And in that case, you know, really, it's hard to answer what is right for Rory based on what we know of Rory, because in a way, all of them are perfectly fine for Rory as she is. That's why all the relationships work, you know?
Right.
And when they all break up, it's like, well, then are none of them right for Rory? What the hell? So if we can only look at that from a perspective of if Rory is a person, just a normal woman who we see as a woman of like the most average sense, who deserves everything that you would say like your close friend deserves, or like that we would deserve if we were women, well, how do we feel about the boyfriends? It's hard to put certain things in the context of the show when we can only discuss them outside of like I can't go, oh, I'm team Dean, because then I would go, oh, but Rory broke up with Dean, so she's not even team Dean. We can only discuss certain things from our perspective.
There's a ceiling to which we can enter into the character's shoes. But I feel maybe
she's not even talking about it. I don't know.
What, she's not even what?
I said maybe she's not even thinking about that example. I guess I'm curious.
Yeah,
as to
I don't know either. But I think if the idea is like we lack compassion because we don't enter into it and we stay up from like an ivory tower and look down upon the Gilmore Girls and make judgments, I don't want to do that. But I'll have to think about that.
I don't know. But also, I feel like this podcast is very much from our perspective. So right. I don't want it to be like...
Again, the judgments are not freaking... what's the word? Infallible.
Right.
No.
Or authoritative. They're a voice.
Right. Yeah. And I very much don't want the show to become a thing where we're just like, so this is what happened. What do you guys think? Like, I want to... plain out say, like, here's what I personally feel about right. this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Next female.
Hey guys, my name is Marie from Memphis, and I just wanted to mention a couple of things about episode 518, To Die and Let Die, Llama.
Wait.
Can't do that one yet.
Wait, I guess it doesn't matter if they call. I'm glad that she said the number of the thing. That's another thing that I feel bad about, because I guess we only really take questions on Twitter and Facebook. How do people like leave? I guess they can email us, but really, if you're going to email us something, put the episode number in the title, because I keep opening emails and then it's spoilers. Like something from season 6, and I'm just like, why would you email us this now?
Right.
They gotta know. They're just hoping like it's a hard-hitting question.
Gotta know.
Be timely with it, because if you've emailed us about something in season, people have emailed about specific episodes of season 6, and I'm just like, there's no way we're gonna remember to talk about that.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard. Like, we don't have a file. Maybe we should start one. Yeah,
it's hard to do, because then we have to start one for each episode.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just if you email us, tell us what episode you're talking about in the header, and we will try.
Well, that's why I think Twitter's fine for it, because...
Exactly. Twitter's the best.
What question can we... like, it can't be longer than a tweet. You know what I mean?
The questions, right. Yes. Although some people are sending like analysis or their viewpoints and whatnot, in which case, right. That's a whole other bag of
which
like,
maybe that's why I'm saying maybe that's the catch-all yeah. episode.
AJ, specifically, I want you to email us about at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com about the us looking at a thing, the things from our perspective rather than the show's perspective. And that's not because I think like you're wrong, you didn't know what you're talking about, but if this is a thing that we do a lot, then I would like to get examples of that and how right. we can. Anyway, thank you.
Next V-Man.
Hi guys, this is Ellie. I'm a huge fan of the
Kemper?
Podcast. I'm calling just because I was getting a little frustrated. I'm listening to your Wedding Bell Blues episode, and I think it's a little unfair to say that season 7 isn't what the show is intending because the Paladinos weren't there, but then to say things like certain characters aren't, are acting out of character and not themselves, and it's just not right.
And it cuts off.
Did it really?
Yes. Wait, I did not cut her off.
Tia, for a second. The Paladinos were off this season?
They were off in season 7.
Why?
I don't know why it's not fair to say that's not what the show intended. Just in terms of...
Well, we don't know the rest of the voicemail. It'll be hard to talk about.
Right. I mean, I will say that the out-of-character thing is something people have talked about before. Like, is it out of character if it happens? And when we say it's out of character, we're saying, is the character that we've known for these 4 years, is this something it seems like they would do? And honestly, I feel like every time we've mentioned it, it's been something that seems wildly like Emily. Like, Emily, yes, she is kind of shrewd and often manipulative, but for her to go to Christopher's apartment and, like, manipulate the situation to sort of get him in the door.
We've never seen that sort of wartime, like, okay, here's the deal,
right.
sort of thing.
It seems like she's a secret messenger, and that yeah. that is not something that I've seen from Emily. Like, her shrewdness is more that she hosts a party with a bunch of men for Rory to date. Like, it's like,
it's like passive. Yes. It's a little passive this and is, a little remove where it's like, oh, I didn't do anything.
This was so pointed that she, in that moment, was just like, look, your life is a mess.
Yeah.
And you can fix it by doing things my way. It's just like, I don't know.
Christopher,
you guys have to believe that that was out of character. He literally, they get drunk 2 episodes before. It's a plot that she doesn't tell Luke that they get drunk. And then all of a sudden he gets drunk at the wedding and he's in love with her again.
And to that point, if they wanted us to believe, yeah, that's sloppy. Because if there was a thing, then that could have been accomplished with that night, the tequila night.
Right.
And then Christopher, he said something weird, but then I left before it got any further. Or he seemed like he wanted me still, so I left before. Like, you could establish something, so right. It's like, oh, maybe he does. But maybe that is trouble.
It is literally only, it's sleepers.
On a dime.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's frustrating. And maybe it's the fact that he's at a wedding and he feels romance, but that's even less believable. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm with you on that. Okay. Yeah, we'll do this.
Hi, Kevin and Demi. This is Rachel Ferris. I'm calling from Orange County, California.
Ooh, shouts.
I was just listening to your podcast on episode 512, and you were talking about trying to figure out what Rory's type was and discussing why she all of a sudden liked Logan. And I kind of had a realization, and I'm curious if you see this as well, but it seems that she likes guys that end up liking her first. Like, they kind of show the initial attraction. You know, you have Dean, who essentially stalked her. You have Jess with his close-up magic. And then you have Logan, who's kind of doing these over-the-top gestures in front of people. And so she's almost drawn to these guys that kind of show her affection first, and I was trying to figure out why that might be the case, and I'm wondering if that has something to do with her relationship with her father, because I think that, I mean, me speaking as a person that kind of has a similar relationship with my own father, I think that desiring attention, especially from a guy who's like showing it, it can be really easy to fall into that. And so we kind of see in the next season Rory trying to figure out, I think, who she is. And I'm wondering if she tries to find kind of herself in these relationships with guys. So anyways, just curious if you see that as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks for putting on a great show. Talk to you later. Bye.
I think the outlier for that argument is Marty liked her, and also...
But he didn't make it known, right?
They didn't either. I mean, they're kind of playing games. Dean's the only one that kind of out... like
right,
out
the rest are playing... I agree with you. Jess is playing a weird game, says Logan.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it was literally only Dean that went for her, and the rest are just kind of playing games about it.
It is interesting that we don't often talk about like the father implications, what that has, if it has any effect on Rory.
You're saying, does Rory have daddy issues?
Yeah.
I mean, she seems like a really strong woman.
It kind of seems like she doesn't want attention from her father, though. Like, overtly, but
right.
Subconsciously, maybe
thing?
She could.
I have a friend who's very similar to Rory in the sense that she's very strong, she's very independent, yet still codependent, but she's very particular about who she relies on, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so, like, you know, she could do anything herself, but she likes having somebody around just as much as anybody else likes being in love. And I think, though, just to that, I think anybody, you learn the most about yourself when you're, like, living with somebody else in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think like it's simply like a medium. It's just a device used to like learn more about Rory and watch her grow up. So, but going back to like the guys making the first move, I have a hard time imagining Rory flirting up a storm with some guy and like making the moves on him.
I mean, she did with Logan, but also I mean, she tried with the Trenton guy.
We have, yes, I was about to say, we've never seen her like a guy and pursue him, but then Trenton.
She tried.
The laundry D-bag.
Although the way they set that up was almost as if it wasn't supposed to be any sort of sinister character, as much as it was supposed to be, oh, she's going after this guy because she's lonely, and
yeah.
she kind of finds him cute.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's negligible or if it's... I don't know. I don't think there's any really common thread in these guys. Jess and Logan, yes. Dean, I feel like, is an outlier
right.
in that formula. And maybe that means that he was supposed to be the one, but I hope not.
He's the first. Can we do something...
Yeah, let's go to Six Flags.
Yeah. Can we go to Six Flags? Yes.
Yeah. What do you mean similar?
Can we do something similar to what we did last time on Gilmail? In that we took a Priyanka Chopra video.
Oh,
and we
yes.
did audio commentary for
oh,
it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And one that we've been getting tweeted a lot is Fergie's Big Girls Don't Cry
Can't
video.
Wait. I refuse to watch it until we can
same,
do this on air.
Same. Starring Milo Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia.
So we're going to watch this. We're watching this for the first time. Maybe we'll put it out as like a visual companion, although we ran into a lot of rights issues last time we did.
Look, Fergie is notoriously less litigious than Priyanka Chopra.
Priyanka. Okay, so here we go. Never seen it, and let's see how.
Again, right off the top, we got this Dukes of Hazzard car.
Right. They call that car the General
is
Lee.
Is Milo driving
it?
Yeah, the General
it.
Lee.
No, oh, Fergie's
driving.
Uh-oh, Fergie.
She is the captain now.
Oh, she's driving to the warehouse where they're going to record the song.
Oh, hell.
Oh, look at her. She's
she
already...
looks great.
She looks good.
Yeah.
She's appealing.
She's beautiful.
Why is everyone waiting for her? I feel that's obnoxious.
That's a weird mic.
She's late.
1, 2, 3, 4. She's Bruce Springsteen.
Her count off was also not very good.
No.
Yeah, it was off beat.
It was real quick.
Milo!
He's back in bed and shirtless!
And he's got the Blind Spot tattoos. He's the girl
Why?
From the Blind Spot. From a Ladysmith Black Memento.
She's whispering to
wow,
his nipple.
She's whispering right to his nip.
What are these, like, are these like Maori tribal tattoos?
Oh my gosh.
This is the same video.
Look at him. He's just loving it. He looks like he's drugged.
She's caressing him. I thought this would be a more rockin' song, truthfully.
You haven't heard the song before?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Laying out there. He hasn't done anything yet. He's still just lying there.
I hope you know that this has nothing to do with you.
Oh, man.
Back to the car.
I kind of like that hat, truth be told. That Fergie
it works
wearing.
For her. So that kind of hat
really,
works for women.
It doesn't fit on her head.
I like it. I like it too.
It doesn't fit on her head.
Oh my god!
It doesn't
no!
fit on her head!
That hat! Big girl now! Because big girls wear hats. What? Take off the hat.
Oh, wow. He's going to record.
Oh, but he's
You know what? Oh, is he wearing... Yeah, man bun works for him, dude.
MB.
Yeah, it does.
Or the ponytail, right?
He was the head of the game on the man bun. Oh,
that's not him. That's not him. But he's also shirtless.
He looks like John Turturro.
No, I think that was the other guy. It was him?
He's shirtless. He's shirtless with the coat on.
Okay.
The other guy was like a black guy on the phone. Ended. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I was dealing.
Uh-oh. He made a bad deal. Oh. That was a Jess Mariano
look. Does
Milo
really have those tattoos?
Did he have them in the other video?
I hope you know.
She's taking down his clothes. Is that what
that mohawk guy's rocking out? He likes it. He likes this song.
Self and I wait to see you. I'm not gonna.
Oh, come here, baby. Kiss, yeah. Are you selling some of his jeans?
I have so much. I'm so confused, like, how any of this is connected. Like, seeing her take down clothes.
She was fist pumping her laundry.
She's just trying to show,
Oh, there's a rainbow there. That's fun.
She looks
George
great.
Clooney does not believe in this.
It looks like maternity wear, though.
Yeah.
She looks great, though.
I love pregnant women.
Oh, boy.
The funny thing about seeing drums in any music video like this is the drum guy's just going hard on it. And
right.
It's like a very...
But he's like, wait, what the hell, man? Okay, Milo's coming out.
You're doing laundry? Is that someone else's laundry?
On clothespins. Okay, kissing.
Uh-oh.
Wait, what?
Is she rubbing his belly button?
Dude, she came up from behind
that's
him.
Weird.
Yeah.
He looks like a lord of Dogtown.
He is, man.
God.
He's the lord and savior of Dogtown.
Does that tattoo say damaged?
Those can't be real tats, can they?
It could be. I hope not, though. I don't think they are.
Why is he looks so mad. Look at his face.
He looks mad, but like he's also holding in a fart.
Yeah, he's definitely holding in farts. Is that like a 70-year-old man on the guitar?
No. No, that's a Bobcat Goldthwait.
There's a... Stars Hala. J.J. Abrams loves this shot because of the player. I'm not gonna miss. He's just shirtless. Put a shirt on, Milo. Come on, man. Girls like guys with shirts on. Okay, she's moving out.
Good. She's leaving this drug-dealing ass.
But because he dealed a drug?
I think we're supposed to assume that. But things were going
very well. I need more context.
Well. They didn't.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, did she kill him?
What? No.
No. Because...
She didn't
murder
him.
We think he's asleep in the bed.
He did look drugged
dead?
In the beginning.
Maybe he's dead, dude.
No.
But that's a twist. I'll give this video a fan theory. What if he's dead?
Well, she's taking off.
Oh, I guess we'll figure out now if he's dead.
He'll wake up. He's got to wake up, right?
Wait.
He's got to...
No.
Oh, he's dead. That's my theory. Paul is dead, and so is Milo Ventimiglia in this video. What is this ad?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want it.
It's something featuring
Chris.
But
wait,
Chris.
There's something called Big Girls Don't Cry Personal Extended Edition.
No. Jamie Foxx.
Maybe we should have watched the extended version first.
Wow.
Oh, golly.
Wow.
You look like Ben Rogers for a second there.
Oh, shit. Well, me and every other white guy with brown hair looks alike.
That's not true.
You sure do, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, see?
I hope you know.
Well, let's palate cleanse that with a V-mail.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Demi. It's Jonathan from Portland, Oregon again.
Oregon.
My last voicemail cut off, and I was blabbering on, so I really couldn't get my point across. But my question basically was, do you think in season 5 the writers handled Christopher well, or was he just a catalyst for what is to come in 5:15, I think, or 5:14, whenever the Luke and Lorelai situation happens? And listening in past episodes of your podcast, it's come clearer and clearer to me personally that the writers weren't really fair and just using Christopher as like a drama, not drama, but like a player and a bigger drama, and just, you know, as a secondary character, not secondary, but like,
I understand what you're saying, like a passive, like an agent of someone else's.
I meant to say, he's sort of just like in the background and stuff. So So just hoping, just wanted to see your, hope to hear your opinions and love the show. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. I think the show sometimes, I mean, the way it strikes me is sometimes as a problem imagining the interior lives of the people that are not directly in this episode.
Right.
Like, well, what's Suki do? What, like, what the hell is Michelle? Give him more texture. Give right. him more things. You can add a little thing to Michelle every time. It doesn't just have to be my puppies and, right. you know. And with Christopher, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I think it was. I think it was just a catalyst.
I think it's like the rest of season five, before 5:13, I think it was great. The drama of him with Rory, even when he goes to Rory's school to talk to her and then like his dad dies, I thought that was great. But then for them to turn around on a dime at 5:12, 5:13 was when I was just like, oh, I don't know why you did that. Right. Because I mean, I've talked about how I like Christopher. I think he has the best romantic and relational chemistry with Lorelai. Like when they're
between him and Luke?
Well, it's so hard to say with Luke because I don't think their chemistry is very much, this is what I was saying about Master of None, is that the chemistry of Lorelai and Luke is two different people sort of battling each other, and how cute it is that, like, Luke is grumpy, but Lorelai's all manic and pixie dream girl. See? And Lorelai and Christopher are, like, the same. They're on each other's level, and they're just kind of, like, having a good time with each other.
Yeah, but sometimes opposites attract.
Right. No, I'm just right. saying, for me, seeing the chemistry of we're the same yeah. and how fun and flirty that
got
is
it.
Is so much more appealing. And I'm not saying that I'm Team Christopher, because Luke is the right choice, but I'm just saying, in terms of chemistry, I look at Christopher and Lorelai and I'm like, of course they were in love. I can see it when they talk. I hear it in that, which is why I like Christopher. I don't think he's as much of a villain as a lot of people seem to.
Yeah, I think he's a bozo.
But he's no Luke, so he has to go.
He's not Luke, and that's a problem.
I'm so sorry. I just drifted away. Yeah, I was reading some emails.
Give me the beat, boys. And bring my soul. I want to get lost in the rock and roll and drift away.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Is it Hootie and the Blowfish?
No,
Blowfish or
Uncle
Cracker. We talked about this.
And then it's actually someone else from the 70s or 80s.
I hate that song.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
I hate that song.
I hate that song.
Oh, here's a shorty. Shorty.
Hi, Gilmore guys. This is Lindsay from New Jersey. I actually live about 20 minutes away from where Scott Patterson is originally from.
Oh.
I just want to say congratulations for getting Gilmore Girls back on the air. And I can't wait to watch it. And I love you guys. And I listen to you all the time at work. You make my day go by so much quicker. And thank you so much for bringing Gilmore Girls back into the spectrum. I don't know what I would do without you guys. My day at work would be so boring.
Wow, so you guys did it. It was
not
you
us.
Two, huh?
Nope. I get very.
It was you two, the band.
It was you two.
Bono was like,
I am Team Just.
I think it was The Edge. I think The Edge was.
Bono was like, I was watching.
I'm on the edge with Rory.
There we go.
There it is.
I think Bono was like, I just started watching the show and they didn't get married. I don't understand. And Jimmy Fallon was like, we got to get the show back on the air, guys.
Oh my God. Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be
so
great.
Funny.
Shouts to Jimmy Fallon.
It's not fun to make fun of an alcoholic. Dude.
No.
I think it's pretty fun. That's why Cheers was great.
That's true.
I get very uncomfortable taking any sort of credit for the reunion, and I will not.
Concurred.
That's all.
Is this one anything? No.
Here it comes.
Let's play that 3-minute voicemail.
Really?
I mean, why not? What if it's like the best voicemail we've ever gotten?
Can I have some Reese's Pieces before you start it?
Yeah.
That's why this podcast should be, like, these should be videos.
Well, now we're just eating Reese's Pieces and having a good old time in
That's
studio.
The podcast,
not wrong. It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
Do we want to go to some emails? I think I got some I can pull up.
Yeah. We'll go to some emails.
All right. I specifically emailed this to us because it's something that Mara Wilson, a friend of the show, brought up on Twitter. And I want to talk about it. Mara recently posed a question just to all of her followers to tell her one thing about Jess Mariano that was appealing aside from his love of, I mean, that his looks.
Yeah, she said, explain the appeal of Jess without mentioning looks.
Yes,
I think.
And people were joking about it, and some people were saying his intellectualism. That's another thing about this, about Rory suitors in general. Every single one of them is supposedly smart.
Except for Dean. He's stupid. Starting in season two.
His attraction to her is based on her reading books, right?
Yeah.
And then they go to the book fair and like...
he's like, duh, Lord of the Rings.
Right. So for me, that's a non-starter. I don't care that Jess is smart. That's not like... They're all smart. Right. Logan is supposedly smarter than her now.
No, but you should care that Jess is smart because the whole thing was done in contrast to Dean. But it doesn't matter that they're smart in the context of like all the guys.
Right.
But the conflict that existed when the show was on was Logan versus... Dean versus Jess.
Is Jess smart though? We see him reading books, but do they ever talk about the books or anything? This is a genuine question.
Nobody knows if he's actually reading them. He could just be looking. He's like, this doesn't make sense to me. He doesn't actually know how to read.
How often does he talk about the books? Like, was that ever a point of conversation for them?
It was just the book cover, but inside the book was just cheat codes for video games.
Well, no, they did the opposite. Whereas Punk Planet, and then it was the self help book in 420.
I don't count whatever. That at all.
Yeah. That's okay. So talking about the books, yeah, I think they did near the end of season three before he traumatized her. I think they did talk about books, but yeah. Wait, what was the point I was going to make?
Do they ever have
he's
conversations
smart
about
because
the books?
The show tells us that he's smart. That's... It's one of those Studio 60 things because who was it? It's either Luke or the principal says like you could get A's if you just applied yourself. Like if you just tried, then you would be
a genius. I hate
that.
Yeah. Show us he's smart. At least with Logan, and I hate this sounds like a Logan defense, but at least with Logan, they are showing him talking about books all the time.
They show you some things. They show you...
Even he's proud of his essay. I liked Logan in 514 alone.
Right. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, sorry. My bad. But in 514, the whole thing about like, no, I wrote this paper. It's going straight to the professor. I was like... I like that side of Logan. If you lean on that more than like, I'm a charmer and also I'm rich, dude. I think that's better. Anyway.
Oh, you mean horny Logan?
Yeah, horny Logan.
It's not just horny Logan.
I mean, the horniness in that episode is evident because it's literally all we see of him. It's just like, oh, I want to get it in.
And then he's like, hey, come back to school. No one's here. We can bone it out.
You want to go bone by the
bone
Eli Yale
out?
Statue?
We can bone it out.
Out?
Bone it out.
You know, during the year, Yale is in Connecticut. But right now, it's in Bone Town.
Bone Town,
and you know
USA.
What? Population two.
Population two. Wait, do we have more to say?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
explain the Mara. Yes.
Yeah, Mara said that, and then so she tweeted at us. Do you think Lorelai being immature and obnoxious with Luke is a sort of reenactment of her relationship with her parents? That her way of relating to people is being beady. Like Ned Beatty? I don't know. Oh, yes, because her parents set up that dynamic, and then she said, yeah, I'm going into the psychodynamics of this. Do we think that the relationship she has with Luke is a reenactment of her relationship with her parents, where it's like they're pushing back and she is just trying, like, she deals with that by being like, oh, God,
No, because I don't think, I don't think Richard and Emily were ever a captive audience for Lorelai.
Right.
I think she tried to relate to them in that sense and failed at it. Whereas Luke, for all his gruffness, is an audience.
Right.
And he does like her and find that part of her charming.
And his gruffness is like I don't want to. Yeah, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's very perfunctory. Yes. It's
a
thin
front.
It's not thick. Yeah.
It's all a front.
All quiet on the Western front.
Jill wrote in and asked, going back to your soda reference, if Marty were a soda, what soda would he be?
Tonic water.
Tonic water?
Yeah.
Explain that.
First of all, bartending. Second of all, it's like he's barely soda. You're just weird water, man. You're not in the game. Like, you might be good for Rory, but like, what the fuck is tonic, man?
Barely soda. Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, we should have Owen Wilson on as a guest. Owen, we love you. Come on the show. It's been a while since we said that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Crap. There was another one. Oh, wow.
Let's just keep doing this.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
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 That's somebody's new. I hope that becomes somebody's ringtone. When the tone's calling him, it just goes,
oh, wow. Wow. Wow!
Dude, I'm gonna make that my ringtone now. It's just a bunch of Owen Wilson's.
Wow!
go ahead.
Sarah wrote in and said, hey, I'm a new listener but a longtime lover of Gilmore Girls. I've been on a binge and listening to the podcast. I'm halfway through season two. You might have already touched on this. I don't think we have. I think Rory and Lorelai know so much about older things on TV because they had a time in which they were so poor. I have a similar background. You know what the cheapest things to buy and watch on VHS? The old obscure things. I watched movies over and over because it was the only way to watch TV.
Sure.
While this doesn't account for the older TV shows, still it might make sense where all the old references come for both Rory and Lorelai. I haven't thought about that, and I'm curious if other people from similar backgrounds have that same...
Oh, that your income... level dictates your pop culture literacy?
Maybe.
I could see that going both ways, though, because if you have a lot of money, then you could see everything the week it comes out, and you can rent all the movies and all the things. But I guess for like some of the TV shows and stuff, it's like you would watch that I Love Lucy for a 20th time, right, and form an opinion on it. So I could see it going both ways.
Plus, I'm realizing now that people from lower income backgrounds might have to like have their children babysat by television while they're working, you know? So maybe they become pop culture literate because it's like their parents were working all the time. Yeah. This is the thing they have. So
I was kind of raised by the television. Like,
I mean, me too.
Yeah. It was like my parents had four kids and they're at, you know, not even 30 when they had all four. And it's like, so they're just grinding all the time. So you would just watch everything on TV.
Right.
It was so much stuff. Stuff you wouldn't even understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched more episodes of Cheers at the age of, like, six than I have in the last 15
years. Any other show.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's how it works.
It is interesting to think about that, though. I think the idea that Lorelai and Rory actually have a reason for being pop culture literate other than it's fun is cool.
Right, other than it's fun. Because that is the shared voice in all the shows, though. Because it's like, in Bunheads, what's the reason? Well, now we have to look at all those individual girls.
Are inspired by the television shows.
Was Gilmore Girls the first show to kind of bring in the pop culture as such a huge part of it? Because a lot of things do that now. Like, you watch movies and things like that, and I think to myself...
What are you talking about specifically? Like, when you see, like, what kind of movies?
Okay, like Knocked Up, for example, is a movie that there's so many pop culture references.
I didn't read the baby books.
Like, but, like, a bunch of lines in it that were, I think, improvised. But, like, your face looks like Robin Williams' knuckles. Or, that's just a line in it. There's so many other, like, things... Now when you watch a movie, it's so heavily heavily filled with pop culture because it's the way we talk.
I feel like movies get away with it, though. Like, as in terms of, like, a movie could be full of references, and, like, it's fine. It's just 2 hours. With a show, it's like, it becomes a thing where it's like, oh, my God, this keeps happening.
Right. There's so many.
But that's what I'm saying, was Gilmore Girls, like, was that the first?
I think it was part of a first wave. Because, like, think about the relatively... young medium that both TV and movies are.
Right.
And then once you start getting to the 90s, again, talking about, we referenced it in the last episode, talking about the whole conversation about Like a Virgin by Madonna and Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Or, like, that was 92 or whatever.
93, yeah.
92 or 3. And so that's like, and then even just Tarantino's whole filmography is like a reference to something else. But there had to be a cycle of things to reference to get to this point.
Right.
And then even like, you know, Buffy had a lot of pop culture references.
Oh, really?
Not as many as Gilmore.
Right.
And I would argue not as funny. But yeah, it had a lot of pop culture references.
Well, now it's so funny watching these later episodes and seeing like, whoa, she said Netflix. Like, it kind of...
Oh, when it invades your contemporary lifestyle, it's like, whoa.
Well, all of a sudden those references, yeah, exactly, they make sense, you know, 10 years later. And it's...
Totally.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think the difference between Gilmore Girls and a show that did it before is, one, they don't make a pointed... It's not a thing. When they make a reference, they don't have the reservoir.
It's a one-liner.
Talk about it. The second thing is they live in our world. Like other shows, like if Full House dropped a reference to something happening at the time, I think they wouldn't do that because they'd be scared that it would get lost to time.
Sure.
Gilmore Girls doesn't give a shit. They're like, yeah, of course it'll get lost to time. Right. It's already lost to time. No one, like Peyton Place, and I know we've had arguments about whether or not Peyton Place is timely, but the idea of Amy Schumer Palladino writing a reference is not, I have to write a specific reference that'll work, or I don't use a reference at all. It's, I want to write this because it's funny to me right now.
Right.
Maybe it'll get lost in time. I know it won't because it works.
Right. You know what I think about in a question I don't examine a lot is, who did Amy Sherman-Palladino write this show for?
Hopefully herself.
I mean, I think...
Although I guess probably not.
What do you... I mean...
It's an interesting question, right?
I think you would want to write to like whatever... you think is funny and like what your friends would laugh at. You
know, I mean, the artistic, I think the idea would be like, I write something I would enjoy, and if others happen to like it and it finds an audience, great.
Right.
But then you're selling soap and it's TV, sure. Right? So I, you know, and I just wonder for these things, like I just wonder, here's the better question, I think, because that's probably what it is. It's like, write for yourself first and then others later, like everyone else. But then I guess, who does she imagine the audience to be? You know? Because I know when she said like the Oscar Levant thing became a battle, putting that reference in an episode in season one, she said, yeah, but there's going to be a gay kid in Kansas that gets it and he'll like it.
Right.
Like he, it was a very specific vision of who that would be.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting is like you watch the show and it's anybody from, you know, they could make a reference about NSYNC to Mozart. You know what I mean? Like those little one-liners that I go, oh my God, I get that. And that resonates with me. And it's so quick. It's just a reminder and it brings you back into the show. So I think they're eclectic. Like pop culture references make the show so fun for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think if you had to really narrow it down, I think it's just, to be honest, I think it's, who is she going after? I don't know. Clearly it resonates with like a lot of women, but it's, I don't know. It's hard to tell because like I really enjoy the show. So
I think she's just going after middle America. Like yeah, I don't think
middle America,
like in the sense that anyone making a TV show is just like, if right. they're not making it for themselves, they're making it for the world because they think it's a good idea.
Well, and she also makes these characters who are, you know, I mean, hypothetically speaking, if you turned on Gilmore Girls, you just heard the name. As a man, you'd probably go like, well, it's called Girls, so it's probably not for me. So it's almost like there's like you're watching it and it's very clear that it's fun for both men and women. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think middle America would probably be the best.
The thing about pop culture references in the show that I love so much is like that Oscar Levant story. If you don't get the references, it doesn't matter.
No. It's not so fast.
Yeah. But if you do get the references, it's a little bonus for you to go,
exactly.
Oh, it's a joke that can be missed if you don't get it and it still works. But also if you do get it, it's like a little, it's a bonus. So right. The idea that she makes these little jokes of all sorts is like right. going, like when people listen to this and like we got an email from someone who loved a joke I made about Dune. And it's just like that right. person, they were like, great. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Or like when I reference Adventures in Odyssey.
Exactly. When I mean, we reference things that we know because right. of our pop culture literacy, right. it doesn't necessarily have to work for everything. Mm-hmm. But it, for the people it works for, that's for them, well, it's like, holy right. yes.
It's a multi-generational comedy. So, I mean, it definitely has jokes for anybody between the age of 7 and 70. So, I mean, if it's nowhere in between.
Like get out of here, 6 and 71. Yeah.
That was a good jumping off point for
thank you, Sarah.
Discussion. Well, this has been a pretty successful.
Do you want to end with one last question?
Yeah.
And then we can, okay. So this is from Nikki, and she says, "Hi guys, love your show, and obviously I'm a huge GG fan. Tight. This is too long to type on Twitter, but I wanted to share an opinion and see if you feel both the same." Both feel the same. While I love both the Gilmore Girls dearly, I find the show to be split directly in half with regard to which character is better. For seasons 1 to 3, I love Lorelai's quirkiness and energy, and I find Rory to be somewhat secondary and uninteresting. Season 4 is the only season in which I love both the characters and think they are well-balanced on their own and with each other. Seasons 5 through 7, I start to love Rory and her newfound independence and personality. I think that Lorelai gets progressively more annoying and desperate. As you're getting further with the seasons, I wonder if you see this flip as well.
Yeah.
I agree about the part of Rory being very uninteresting in the first, like, that part.
Yeah, and she's a little kid.
Yeah, for a long time I was like, Lorelai is the... But, like, they focus so much true. On... It is true. They focus so much on her, like, relationship drama that I was just like, oh, I don't really care, aside from the stuff that was her forming friendships, you know?
Yeah.
And with Lorelai, I was like, this is great, because it was dealing more with... Like, relationships kind of took a backseat unless it was, like, more adult relationships, which is maybe just the way that we're watching this as adults. But like, as a kid, what did you care more about? Like, did you feel
I
that
cared
flip?
More about Lorelai? I always, yeah. I mean, and
is that just you, or do you think it's just how the show is set up?
I don't know. Well, I'm trying to think of like when I hopped on season four, and then I caught up in DVDs, and I always enjoyed. Like sometimes the, and I'm more interested in it now, weirdly enough, but some of the boys stuff, and especially like Jess and Dean stuff, seemed like, okay, well get back to Emily and Richard, get back to Luke and Lorelai, get back to Lorelai and Suki, get back to, like.
Do you think it's because she's younger, it's easier to belittle her situation because you go, you think to yourself like, oh, well, right, she's just a kid. You know,
and
I mean?
I'm a kid. You mean in that sense? Or?
Like I always, whenever, okay, for example, you talk to somebody, you ever have a, like, I was talking to my younger brother. Sorry, I'm trying to think of, like, how to phrase this, but I was talking to my younger brother, and he's complaining to me about college. And me, as being somebody who's past college, I think to him, I'm like, you're going to finish it. Like, you'll be fine, blah, 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 blah. But he's having all the same experiences and the same hopes and fears that I had. But, you know, I'm trying to take him as seriously as possible, because you can't be like, well, you're a kid and you're an idiot and it's going right. to be fine. It's like, you got to break into like that psychological thing. So I think going back, you don't find kid characters to be as interesting, maybe because their problems are almost feel secondary to somebody who's older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I find Rory as a character to be more interesting this time around than when I was younger.
Sure. I don't find her to be more interesting. I mean, I didn't. I say more interesting
the
as
first
if I
time
watched
around.
It. Yeah. I think what's also interesting to me is the flip she mentions where, like, seasons 5 through 7, both the characters are so much more different. And I think it's – she called Lorelai more desperate and annoying. I feel like she's becoming more human. We're seeing flaws, and we're seeing her go through trauma.
I don't see her as desperate at this point, no.
I don't either, but I mean, I think that seeing some of that desperation is seeing a god fall, you know? It's right. seeing someone...
The Stars Hollow god is
stars
falling.
Yeah, the stars are falling. It's weird to see someone like Lorelai, who's been so sort of flighty and floaty for 4 years, have a trauma that literally brings her to tears, yeah. And that's Luke. And I think that's what sets the course for the rest of the series, is Lorelai is a human now. And it's interesting for me to think of it that way, like, have her be, like, less annoying, having real problems with her family, because before she got mad at Emily, but never, like, cut off communication mad.
Right.
So I like where we are in the series right now, because I feel like it set both Lorelai and Rory on a different course, although I care less about Rory's course, because I feel like, in my head, I see it, and I'm just like, I know you're making a mistake, stop it.
Right.
So I...
Cut it out, you.
Yeah, cut it out, kid.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting flip to think about.
Yeah, well, I know. There's such an act one and act two to this show that mm-hmm. starts with the college years. And I think that this show did do college well. Like, I feel like this show, like, other people stumbled and didn't quite figure out their identity and what it was going to be when it's a high school-based show that goes to college, goes to university. But I think they did it pretty all right for these reasons that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
Nikki.
Thank you to everyone who left us a voicemail or an email. La, la, la.
I'm going to get some Reese's now.
Oh, yeah, some Reese's Pieces,
I'm
bro.
I'm going to eat them on the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Smack, smack, smack.
Mailbag. Thank you. Mailbag. You can email us anytime, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Quickly, say a pop culture thing you like.
Fergie.
Shout out to Fergie, I guess.
I'll say Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, well, I'm going to go my man Apple Diap.
Okay, great.
There you go.
Email us at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We read them all. We'll respond to them all. Or call 772-934-4559.
772-934-4559.
We Gilly.
What's up, y'all? We're back.
iTunes Rap Challenge.
It's back. After a long period of waiting.
There was a long hiatus.
We got MC Trolley over here.
Hi.
We got DJ Porter.
Let's make sure to not peek out the microphones too much.
And then we got me. Fuck Master Demi.
Fuck Master Dems. Oh. All up in the mix.
Guys, we made a promise ages ago that if you left us an iTunes review, you would get your name wrapped in a thing. And it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
It's been such a long time since we've done the challenge.
Yeah.
So we want to just do something to get rid of all these names, because we have 184 of them. So I think it's about time we fulfilled our promise.
I don't know if we want to call it get rid of all
these
names.
Yeah, I was going to say
I'm going to call
harsh.
It get this is a trudge. We are hating doing this.
Yeah,
no,
boy.
I'm kidding. It's a fun thing to do, but we got to we got to clear the cache. There's a long list.
Here we go.
So now, as promised, I think it's time to come on and slam. Who's taking it first? Who we got?
Oh, we need to turn it down.
Turn it down?
Everybody get up.
It's time for iTunes. Leave us a review and we'll rap for you.
Welcome to the
Gilmore Guys.
Crap your pants with Gilmore Guys. All right, I'll go first. Okay, Jill Edith, Richard Bob, Squeegee Beckenheim, JD Slob, Kim Pimmel, Dakota Redo, I like you. Okay, Gavin DeMigraw, CBEX, Edub 2013. Not too mean. Oh, the next one's Becca Jean.
Wait, I lost it. Oh.
I got it. I'll pick it up. Here we go. Aim Chris, thank you for this. You left us a review, and that's so great of you. So Beetle, you're so sweetle. Grace Kessels, you're the Bessels. Gosh, golly. Gosh, gilly. Gosh, golly, gilly. Silly, I said it wrong, but that's fine. Emily Day, 111. Traveling Star, you're a star. Warren, thanks, man. Jen Negatron, you're the bomb.
Z Russ and G, I don't know how to pronounce ye. Try a plum, they're better than sex. That's a weird name, weirder than my ex. Nomi, your homie, shouts, there's no, nobody has lawn gnomes anymore.
Oh my
homie.
God.
Bounce Ruby, 2013. Were you born in 2013? I don't know. Kiki Von Schwartz, Blatt. Splat. I got nothing.
You can point
that. Music Fanatic, 1364. You like music. Here's the door.
You don't have to do all of them. Point away. Tap out.
And Kevin.
Beetlejuice 29, you're so fine. Kitson and Miles. Katie did 5361. Ash on the core 17. Not too mean. Pretty lean. Rhode Island girl. Oh, what a girl. Oh, no. This one's Elizabeth Lemon.
Lemon, Elizabeth Lemon,
B, Jen Wilsey, KCL 1994, Dub K, Rosie Beak, Jamie Leanne, you're the man.
P. Niagara, that's two, you're number two, but you're one to me. Ooh, Master Bowl, boy, I hope you're good at scoring things. Miss Linderman, I hope that's your real name, I hope it's not, I mean. Underscore 50's pin up, I want to take you up and take you down to the movies. Girl, because you rock my world, Tink underscore 42. You're the man, I love you. CDS 105, thanks for being alive. P.I. Tenor, dude, whatever. Wendy underscore Martin, dating sucks. 7739, I think it's fine. Boo did dee doo. Hey, what's up with you? Tikarella, I want to treat you like Cinderella. Laker, Gatorade. Don't drink that Haterade. Go.
NYC, Mermaid, 1121. Yeah. Two more.
So far, so good.
Why do you want to be a spaceman? I'm not good at this, man. KCM, 1-3. Holy guacamole, 7G. ERC, 210. Man, you're the man. Keep being the man. Ali Beth B. In the place to be. Can't you see? J. Pratt, 205. Mr. Slim, cool guy. Heather Borges. You're gorgeous. Bass 5 underscore 98. Want a date? Alexandria Smith. What's up? Hey.
Come on.
And Elite Eliza. Have you wanted to split some fries up? Rachel is tired. Get some sleep. Falling Goose. Falling Gross. That's your name.
Falling Rose, I think, is the name.
Oh, my God.
Take it away, Kevin.
Cascades 93. Thank you. Thank you from me. Buzz Alla, Buffy Girl 47, 777, Nicole KY, Jelly, at least Elise, Aunt Smelly, Angie Atwell, Shibby, HLE 2015, Betsy Yan 82, Jesse RVA for you, Kes HHR. Underscore INDRYE, Boyle the Megan, Mel Pink 1, Bet Web Scale, Caroline 763589999, Sandy Pants, Wanna Dance, Raquel Durham, Raquel Durham, Bull Durham, No Home for Purim, Whitney C 1993, Transient, Francesca C1014, Miss Patty's Dance Studio, I Want More, Navarro, Sir, Brit. favorite? 06. True Blue, Piz Learson, Patty Cake Maker, The Fourth, Lorelei, Measy 29, Amber Lee, John Sparta, Soccer Lover, Almost Famous, From a Mother, Kate in Austin, not in Boston, Kate Campbell, 6, Chance, 221, Boston Gilly, Let's Mix, Genifect, Lil Allison, that's a cool MC name, Lil Allison. Do you know Hannah Dowson? That's a friend of mine in the UK. Never mind, never mind. Anyway, Imbo 527, Beefleg 1120, Laura Q4s 27. Over it, 05614. Why are these like binary codes? Go, Demi.
Court Lee, 33, your name rhymes and that's enough for me. Mo Spain, Jillian Alice. That's very nice. Ira Star Hem, you're the star of Bethlehem. Tiff Banks, hey, thanks, it's natural, you're cool. J. Emily, you're not the Emily from the show, but that's fine with you, I just want you to know. Beginning, shining, diff, Isis, okay, KKKK8, great, KKKK Brit, hey, Liz the Mormon, Salsera, Julia Lafort, hey, Gara, that's not a word, Jack Sweat Girl, 3224, hey, what's up, girl, do you want to go dance some more? Sage the Libra, Surfer Kitty, you guys are great, you guys are real pretty, Finn Jammin, Magdalene, hey, man, Evo Lovan, rap my name orange, I'll rap it for 4 inch, like a door hinge, that's boring, hey, Antlers, Antlers, Lori Harris, yo, Zipster, 321, that's a countdown, and now it's time for fun. K45, Brit fan, Laura Lovin', and I'm Laura Lovin'. This rap, it's Kensington for Gilmore. Poop lawyer, there it is. Sophia Garcia, 2015. Ruby Tadpole 3, okay. Nicole Apostrophe.
Yeah.
John Tay, skepticism fan. Joel Dudes, BJ Jackson, 27. What's up, man? Amy Michelle Wolf, you're an animal. GSU Hokie, cool. Aaron Disney, hi. December, Wednesday, that's a weird name. Hen Rosnan, Lucky Charm, 1113. Terps, 10, longtime fan, low call. Lizzie Girl, 28, want a date? Liz Set, what's up? Liz, there's a lot of Liz's. 1508, Lady Elaine. Hi, Lady Elaine. Kerferera, 628. 906-775-4255.
That's a phone number.
That's a phone number. That's definitely a phone number. Feats of Strength.
Yeah.
MS Ahmed 2012.
Ooh.
Miss Ahmed. That's what it, that makes sense now. R Frankie 12.
Yeah.
Kara Lou in NYC. Ooh. Can't you see I'm the guy for ye? Ooh. Go, Kevin.
Okay, okay. H.A. Brisson, Emily. Audrey Horney, not for me. ABCBFKSKEKJAEND. Come on, you did that on purpose because I would have trouble rapping it. XL4687. Ho Dojo, Dutch Charlie, Abby Kathleen, Gene XH, Fella Bina, Ashley Five Ray, Princess De Leon, Karen Masu 09. Oh, Laura loves Kevin. Okay. Gil Eagle, 17. Kate Looper, know what I mean? Jasper Friend, X Cat Doyle, Glendon Ray, Liz Katner, Aaron Mohanen, Veggies Rule. Go to school, aka Kiki 03. Best foes, and we end with Beauty in the Breeze.
Wow, beautiful. That was a wonderful jam. I think they'll like that one.
What lovely names. Thank you all so much for letting us rap them.
Well, some of them were negative reviews.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know which ones because I was like, fuck it.
You left a review. You didn't look?
No, I did. I read all of the reviews also.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Read every one.
Really?
I did. Thank you for the nice ones. Meh, to the mean ones. A lot of the mean ones are like, I got in 2 episodes and didn't like it, which is like, that's true. That's fair. But also, I kind of want to be like, give it some.
Yeah. You would say the same with 30 Rock as well.
Not me. I mean, I would. I would.
I mean, if it was made today, look, I don't have patience.
That's what
for
I said with Megan. I like every show.
Okay. Wait, she said that.
I know. It's like. Oh, I said I took credit for it just now. It's like Megan said. I like every show.
There you go.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Toodles.